Everlasting to everlasting, I will praise you from everlasting.
Everlasting to everlasting,
I will praise you
from everlasting. Everlasting to everlasting,
I will praise. Magnify and exalt your wonderful name. For we know that there is none like you, and none can be likened unto you, Father. We praise you, we worship you, we adore you. Accept our praises in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As we have come before you today, Father, speak to us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let your word give us life this morning in the name of Jesus. Your word that will transform, your word that will heal, your word that will give hope, Father, give to us today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
I want to speak on a topic that says hoping for glory. Hoping for glory. We have read Colossians chapter 1, but I just want to pick verses 23. Colossians 1 from verse 23. Colossians 1. I just want to read from verse 23 to 27. Are we there? If you are there, say amen. If you are here to open it, say wait for me. I hope we have our Bibles here. Amen. So nobody is saying we should wait, so we'll continue. Okay, you are seeing it there. I read, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Wherefore, I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings. I want you to take note of that word, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to God, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. I will stop there. Praise the Lord. Now, hoping for glory. If you look at verse 27 of that chapter, the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want us to define some things and then look at what the Bible is trying to tell us there. Now, Glory. What is glory? There can be many definitions of glory. In fact, our general overseer during the last Holy Ghost service said, if you want to define glory, you can use the opposite of glory to define it. And the opposite of glory is shame. You know, there are some words that you can use their opposite to define. So anything that is shame is not glory. Anything that is not glorious is shameful. So you can look at glory, you can look at glory from that angle. Glory can mean full essence, full weight. That means you have attained. It means glory. You are victorious. You are prosperous. That is glory. You know, sometimes I wonder, when people die, they put obituary out, and they put in the obituary a glorious exit. I used to wonder whether the exit is glorious or not. Because somebody who has defrauded many people and then just happened to die, because there is money to print obituary, they just put their glorious exit. We'll look at that also. Praise the Lord. But I want to look at glory as the goal of life. That's the way I see glory. The goal of life. Now, when I talk of life, I'm not talking of the general life. I'm talking of life in Christ. John chapter 1 and verse 4 tells us that in him was life. In Christ was life. That is the life I'm talking about. It's not the life you live, you embezzle money, you buy yachts, you buy vehicles, you buy airplanes. That is not the type of life I'm talking about. But that life that is in Christ, the goal towards that life is what I see as glory. So to me, glory is the goal of life. Now, I put it in two places. That is what you can achieve here on earth, and then what you stand to gain in afterlife. That is why I mentioned glorious exit the other time. If you have lived your life for Christ and you are going home, that is what I see as glorious exit. Not somebody who is killing and he says he's killing for God, and then people will carry that person and say, yes, he's exiting gloriously. But when you have lived your life for Christ, just as it says the lyric of the song that we just sang, empty me, I want to live my life for you. When you live your life for Christ, then you are exiting gloriously. And then making it to be with Christ at the end. So that is what I term to be glory. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. So that is where I coined my own definition from. From glory to glory. The glory in this life and the glory you stand to enjoy in afterlife. So you discover that you move from one level of glory to the other. You continue to move. As you move in the Lord, you continue to move in glory also. In the Sunday school of this morning, we are discussing about complacency. And you discover that if you sit in one place, you won't be able to make it to where you want to be. Paul, for example, said, I press towards the mark of high calling in Christ Jesus. He's pressing. Pressing because there is a vacuum, you know, to fill. There is always something for us to do. In life, in the kingdom of God, we have an assignment. There is usually something for us to press towards. And God, we open our eyes to see what we have to press towards in Jesus' name. So, from glory to glory means what is achievable here on earth and then what we stand to gain after life. If you look at Genesis chapter 45 verse 13. Genesis 45:13. when Joseph, was made the vice president in Egypt, and then the brother came to visit him, while the brother were about going back to Egypt after he has furnished them with all that they will need, he told them, he said, when you get back to my father, tell my father of all my glory in Egypt. Of all my glory in Egypt. That means everything that I've been able to achieve in Egypt, tell my father about it. So, tell my father about my victory. Tell my father about my success. Tell my father about my prosperity. If you are aspiring to prosper, it is glory. If you are aspiring to be victorious, it is glory. If you are aspiring to succeed, to progress, to be promoted, it is glory. So tell my father about all my glory in Egypt. Now, that is glory. Then what is hope? Because that scripture, verse 27 tells us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is something I want to draw out here. Because some people will tell you, once saved, forever saved. But I like God for one thing, because in the use of language, God is always very, is very careful. God is always very careful. God will not tell you that this is what he's going to do when he knows that there are things that you need to do to bring that thing to fruition. So that is why God is always very careful in the choice of word. If you look at the scripture that Pastor quoted the other time, I wish above all things. He said, I wish above all things. If you look at it, it's a wish by God. It's just a wish. It is left for you. It is the wish of God for you to excel. It is the wish of God for you to prosper. But it is a wish to God. What are you doing to attain that prosperity? So that is why God is always very choosy in his word. He said, every knee should bow. If you look at that scripture very well, because some people misquote it, they say every knee must bow. No. Every knee should bow. Because if God says every knee must bow, then anywhere you mention Jesus, even if you are a sinner, and you mention Jesus, knee must bow. But the scripture tells us every knee should bow. Ordinarily, they should bow. But because of one thing or the other, they may not bow. For instance, when praise the Lord, that by Jesus, was it by Jesus now, or the girl that was the servant, was saying, these are the children of God, these are that, that her word should be able to command angel to make every knee to bow. Alas, it wasn't so. And that is why God is always careful in choosing his word. So here, the Bible tells us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's look at hope first. What is hope? Hope is a desire of some good. When you desire something good to happen to you, accompanied with an expectation of obtaining it. You have a desire for a good thing, then that desire is accompanied with expectation of how to get that good thing. That is hope. Now, our coming to Christ is factored on so many things, and majorly for us to make it to heaven. And I pray we all make it to heaven in Jesus' name. But I want to let you know that coming to Christ is just a hope of making heaven. Do you agree with me? It's a hope of making it to heaven. And that is why you will see that some people will come to Christ and they will backslide. And they will not make heaven. We have seen ministers of God who have made it very big in the kingdom, but in the end, they fell by the wayside. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Now, hope is expectation. It's a belief
that something is obtainable. It's a belief that the kingdom of God is obtainable. So Christ in you gives you that belief that I can make it to heaven. Praise the Lord. It's an expectation of something which is thought to be desirable and pleasing expectancy. So if you look at glory, if you look at hope, you will discover that glory is good to hope for. Because glory gives you victory. Glory gives you prosperity. Glory gives you promotion. But when you have Christ, you have hope of getting all these things. You have hope of getting it because you have a power that is working behind you. The Bible says God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or even think, according to the power that is at work in you. So that power that's at work in you is Christ. The Bible tells us that in him was life, and the life was the light of all men. When you get into, when you get that life into your life, you receive light to walk through the maze of life. I hope I'm communicating. When you receive the life of Christ, it's like you receiving a candle that will light your own light, and then you will now see through the maze of life. Let me tell you, there is nothing you can do without light. If there is darkness here now, we won't be able to sit here. In fact, if there should be darkness, let's say this service is holding in the evening, and all of a sudden, just as we used to encounter in Nigeria, there is light off. I will pause a little, see what is happening before I take off again. In Genesis chapter 1, when God decided to create the heaven and the earth, the Bible recorded that there was darkness everywhere. There was void everywhere. What did God do? The first thing God created was light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So with that light, God was able to see all other things that were not in order. And God was able to recreate them. Praise the Lord. So in life, you need light. And that light is the life you tap from Christ that will give you the light. Praise the Lord. Now, who is Christ? Christ is our Savior. Let me read this scripture, this passage. Joel 3:16. The Bible says, the Lord shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people. The Lord will be the hope of his people. Now, if you look at this scripture again, the Lord says he will be the hope. That means when there is storm here and there, all you need to do is hope in God, and then you can survive that storm. It is not that God will just come and carry you out of that storm and place you where there is no storm. But what God will do is, we want you to hope in him first. When you hope in him, there will be relief for you. And that relief shall come in Jesus' name. So, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of his children. When you hope in him, even if you don't have the strength to move at that time, God will be your strength and you'll be able to move. In Psalms 31 verse 24, the Bible says, be of good courage, and it shall strengthen your heart, all that hope in the Lord. All that hope in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, who is Christ? Christ is our Savior. Christ is the hope of glory. Christ is the hope for life. If you want to live a better life, not the type of better life for rural women that we had in Nigeria once. If you want to live sure better life, then you come to Christ. Because it's hope for life. It's hope for fulfillment. If there is anything that we want to fulfill in life, it is through Christ. Hope for success. Christ is our hope for success. Now, when we talk of hope, a student, for instance, you get admission into a university to read maybe, let's say, chemistry. You pay the tuition fees and everything. Admission and payment of fees does not guarantee that that person will pass out as a graduate of chemistry. That is no guarantee. Some people may fall by the wayside. Some may decide on their own to go and read another course. Somebody tell me a story very long time ago. She said when she was in the secondary school that they had one prince who was there in that school with them. A dullard. That prince will never write an exam and pass. So what he would do is, at the beginning of every session, he will carry his desk. If it is form one today, next session he will carry his desk and go to form two by himself. The man will promote himself. So he was doing that, you know. It will get to a stage when he will not be able to go ahead because his intelligence will not be able to carry him further. By the time they want to write, he can do that in his school. But when it comes to external exam, that is where, you know, he will see his shortcomings. And that is why we are saying that God should empty us by himself so that we know who you are. You know, by the time you are emptied by God, you go on a scale to weigh yourself. You will know exactly your weight. But if you have not been emptied, maybe you have loaded yourself, you carry your winter jacket, you carry cardigan, you put everything together, you go on a scale, you will discover that you will overweigh. So we need God to empty us to know where we are going. Praise the Lord. So, if we say Christ is hope for life, it follows that Christ is just the foundation that we need. Christ is only a foundation. Christ is the foundation to success. Christ is the foundation to prosperity. Christ is the foundation to promotion. Christ is the foundation to glorious exit also. So if you want to get all this, if you want to attain it, Christ is the foundation. Because Christ is just the hope. Christ is not the one that will take you there. Paul said, I forgot those things of the past. And he's pushing towards, forward. So you have a foundation, and you have to build on that foundation. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3, from 11 to 16. First Corinthians 3, 11 to 16. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11. The Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, than that is laid, that is Christ Jesus. So, Christ is just a foundation. Foundation for you to make it in life. Foundation for you to be glorious in life. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, if you look at that scripture again, the choice of word by God, he said, if any man build, if, conditional. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not? Now, if you look at what we have just read, the Bible says, if it is left for you to build on that foundation, if you want success, if you want promotion, if you want to be known, if you want to be famous, you are to build on that foundation. And now the Bible says, if any man, that is any man that has made Christ his foundation, now starts to build on that foundation, hey, stubble, the work of that man that has accepted Christ will be tried by fire. Not the work of everybody. So that is why God tells us here, if any man, you can decide to build, you can decide not to build if you are in Christ. But whatever work you build on that foundation shall be tried by fire. Now, if you look at verse 16, say, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Verse 17 says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Now, somebody who is not in Christ is defiling already the temple of God, because you are doing with the temple of God what is not acceptable to God. Before you can do any work that is acceptable to God, you must first of all lay the foundation. That foundation is coming to Christ. When you come to Christ, you can now start to build. But if you have not built at all, if you have no foundation at all, then you are already defiling the temple of God, and that is the type of person God says will destroy. God will not destroy us in Jesus' name. And that is why we need to quickly reconcile with him so that we'll not be destroyed in Jesus' name. So, if, connoting that the building on the foundation is conditional, and that is why one will begin to wonder, we have men of God all over. Why is the ministry of this one getting more attention than the ministry of that one? It depends on the word, the type of work they are building. I'm not talking of the physical work, physical construction. That's not what I'm talking about. Paul, for instance, said, I bring my body under subjection. There are things required of us by God. There are things that we need to do. The gift that God has given unto us, the fruit of the Spirit must abide in us. And if we want to build, we need to build on those nine principles, those nine fruit of the Spirit. You have love. You have long-suffering. You have patience. You know, talk of the nine fruit of the Spirit. When you continue to build on them, you will discover that you become mature in Christ. And you are attaining that glory, you know, from glory to glory that God has stated in the Bible. Philippians 2:12 tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So it means, even after laying the foundation, you have some work to do. Now, how do we work out our salvation? How do we work towards glory? Colossians 1:23 tells us, if, conditional, if ye continue in the faith, grounded. That faith that is grounded is the foundation, that is Christ. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, because God has lifted Jesus to glory. His name is above all names. So, Jesus is grounded. Jesus is settled as that foundation. If you now continue in that faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. That foundation is there already. The work that you are to do, you must continue in it. You must believe and continue to hope that yes, the Christ in you will give you that glory. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. What is the hope of the gospel? Christ has come to save all men. He died for us so that all our sins can be forgiven. That is the hope of the gospel. You must continue in that hope. Not to be here today and then to be there tomorrow. By the time you are shifting ground, you know, that is apostasy. And you know, this is something God hates. If you look at the Old Testament, the way God treated the children of Israel, if you read especially Ezekiel, see the punishment that God said he would give to them because of all the things that they have done wrong. So you will discover that apostasy is not good, and God frowns at it. So if you can avoid all this, and then you continue in that hope of the gospel, which you have heard, because every day you hear about the word of God, and which was preached to every creature under heaven, which has made Paul also to be a minister of Christ. Paul received it, and his life was transformed. Because Paul was an enemy of the gospel. But when he heard the gospel, you know, he became transformed. Praise the Lord. So, you must continue in building the work on that your foundation. And then Philippians 2:12 tells us, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then Philippians 3:8-14. Philippians 3:8-14. I read, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, look at Paul saying that he forgot about every other thing, everything that he has. You know, I read a book of Francine Rivers. And through that book, I discovered that a young man that came to Jesus that was boastful, you know, that told Jesus that, he asked Jesus, he said, what can I do to make it to heaven? And Jesus told him, do this law, love your neighbor as yourself, and this and that. Love God with all your heart and with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he said he has been doing that all his life. And Jesus told him, go and sell all that you have, give everything to the poor, and then come and follow me. And that because that man has great riches, he was disturbed. He was sad. I got to know from a book that particular person was Silas. And do you know, according to that story in that book, that the thing affected Silas throughout his entire ministry. He was always thinking of how he should have obeyed Christ at that time and then continue to enjoy as other apostles. Enjoying suffering as other apostles. So he was always referring to that thing. That time I knew him, but I did not know him as close as the other people. So the Bible is telling us here that Paul, the moment he came to the realization of that gift of salvation. He forgot all that he has. His degrees, his wealth, everything he forgot. Just for him to know more about Christ. So, for us to attain that glory here on earth and that of afterlife, we must make Christ number one in our life. He said, "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." So, nothing is important to him again. All that is important to him is Christ, knowing Christ. He continued and said, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness." You know, before then, he believed that he was righteous. He believed that those people were not of God, and he was killing them, you know, persecuting them wherever he sees them. "Which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, that I may know him." The power, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. And verse 11 says, "If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." What am I trying to say? You give your life, just like the hymn we sang, "Take my life, and let it be consecrated unto thee. Let my hand be useful for you. All the parts of my body, let it be yours." That is what Paul is saying here. Everything that you want to do, Christ is the foundation. In fact, if you have to take any decision at your place of work, you must consider Christ first. In your family, you must consider Christ. So that is why, you know, Paul is telling us this here. Praise the Lord. Now, you make Christ your number one. So, I want to conclude by saying, Christ has entered into glory. And since he is our hope to get there, we must continue to make him our mentor to attain glory. Now, how do we make him our mentor? We look at the life of Christ. How has Christ lived his life? And that is the way we should live our life also. You find yourself in a tight corner. What will Christ do to get out of this corner? You know, when Christ gets into a tight corner, what? We pray. So what do you do? Pray. These are steps for you to get to glory. And I pray you reach that glory in Jesus' name. So all you need to do is make Christ your mentor. Let Christ continue to direct your life. Christ will always speak to you. In fact, you know, I discover something nowadays. If I listen to any message at all, from wherever, from whoever, I discover that a word is there for me. That a word is there for me. Even experiences also, I discover that God has something hidden in that experience for me. I don't look at others. I don't place it on others, no. I place it on myself. Any message, any song, lyric, I see something there for myself. All the songs that we sang today, in fact, they all ministered to me. They all ministered to me. And that is how you can make Christ your mentor. Because everything is centered on Christ. What is Christ telling me concerning this situation? What is the message of Christ for me in that particular ministration? What is the message of Christ for me in that song? You may just sing and say, empty me, empty me, empty me. But that is the fact. This morning, we were talking of complacency. You will discover, if you look at yourself, search yourself very well, do a self-evaluation, you will discover that in one area or the other, you are affected by that word. That is how Christ can be your mentor. And I pray Christ will continue to be your mentor in Jesus' name. You will not depart from that path of Christ in the mighty name of Jesus. But just as you have said, Christ is just the foundation. Christ will not come down to do all these things for you. He's the foundation. He's the force, power that will help you to achieve what you want to achieve. Spiritually, physically, materially, in whatever way, Christ will help you to achieve it. And it's just the foundation. So that is why you need that foundation. You can lay no other foundation. There is no other foundation that any man can lay than that which is laid already, and which is Christ Jesus. So if you have not laid the foundation today, reconcile with God immediately. As we rise to our feet, and then we begin to talk to God. If there is any amongst us that has not laid that foundation, please reconcile with Christ immediately. Talk to Christ. Talk to him. That you want to reconcile with him today. You want him to be the foundation of your life, the foundation of your glory. You want him to be the mentor of your life, the one that will direct your life for you. I want you to talk to him. Talk to him personally. Talk to him personally. I can tell you that God is here and God is talking to us. So talk to him. Even if you have derailed, you can still talk to him. Examine yourself. You know, check your life. Have I been living a glorious life? A life that is founded in that gospel of Christ? A life that is grounded in that established gospel of Christ? Look at your life and talk to God. If you have not been living that life, reconcile today. Go back to God and talk to God. God is here. God is willing to transform you. God is willing to change your life and give you that glorious life that you hope for. Talk to God. Talk to God. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I want you to open your mouth and talk to God. You will say, Father, Father, help me to live a glorious life. Help me to live a life founded on you. Help me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help me to live a glorious life, Father. Help me, Lord, make my life glorious. All my steps, Father, make it glorious. Father, give me a glorious life. A life of fulfillment. A life of attainment, Father. Release to me today in Jesus' name. Give me a glorious life, Father. Help me, Lord, to live that glorious life. Help me to live that glorious life. Help me, Lord. Help me, Father. Help me, Lord. Let me live that glorious life in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Our Lord and our Father, we thank you once again for this morning. Thank you, Father, Lord, for where you have started with us. Thank you for your word that you have just sent. Accept our thanks, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that you help us to live gloriously in Jesus' name. Make us doers of what we have heard. And let your name in our lives and in your church alone be glorified. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen.